Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Let's start from verse 1. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in his holy mountain. Praise the Lord. Beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Now, the city where you dwell, praise the Lord. The joy of the whole earth, not the joy of the born again, the joy of the whole earth. Because you see, the earth is full of people who want what is in Mount Zion, but they do not know how to get there, or they do not even know that what they want is there. So somehow, and of course to a part, it is because they have not been presented with the fullness of what Mount Zion is all about. So there is despondency across the world right now. I'm sure you know that you've seen people very concerned, rioting. The politics is against people all over the world. And now people are running for a place to go, and they actually are confused. I've never seen people so confused as they are now, and yet actually feeling so powerless. And the things that make for their power are hidden from them. It's almost like Jesus telling Jerusalem that, you know, if only you had known the things that make for your peace, but for right now they are being hidden from you because they didn't think he was all that. And yet, as far as he was concerned, the only way Jerusalem was going to be was going to avoid the fate that eventually befell it is if they had received him. But they did not know. Now, the world also right now does not know that great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful in elevation. I mean, I wanted to think about, is there any time in the world where people have been so discouraged, depressed, suicide rates going high. In some places, they're actually endemic, absolutely endemic. In countries like Japan and South Korea, there's a pandemic of suicide because society places on people all sorts of expectations. You're supposed to be this at this age, this at the other age, especially Japan. And it's very unforgiving if you do not achieve those things. Society looks down on you in a certain way, and people just end up jumping from high buildings. And they are jumping every time. On the streets, people are jumping. And of course, it was exacerbated by the whole COVID lockdown and, you know, people becoming loners and so many habits that haven't come back. And now, there's never been a time like this when people want, actually, to go into the city of our God. Praise the Lord. Because that's where there is, you know, beauty, that's where there is peace, that's where there is comfort, and that's where there is everything. And it says it's the joy of the whole earth. It's just that they don't know it, that their joy is actually in that place. Now, when we stand from a place where we stand and we start proclaiming that, you know, there's nothing to worry about, everything is good, our future is definitely better than our present, and I hope our present is better than our past, and you're confident about that, then everybody seems to be, because you see, I don't believe that, and now there's never been a better time to preach the gospel than now, by the way, let me tell you, because I don't think that people understand how much there is a squeeze. Maybe you people don't understand. I hope you don't, because if you do, then you're experiencing it, and that's not good. But there is a squeeze. Things which people used to do frequently, all the time, you go to restaurants and what, and you find them empty. Absolutely empty. Now, there was a time, maybe around 2019, when there was buzz, there was activity, there was, you know. But now it's not there. It's quite simply not there. The other day, somebody was telling me that that place in Australia where people go to, does, what's it called? Governor. Yeah, I see the people who know it. They told me that before COVID, they used to open. The only day they did open was Monday, I think. They told me they used to open Tuesday up to Sunday. Now they told me they only open Friday and Saturday, but still there are no people. It still is empty. It can be like... And you see, those are things, of course, which are not of concern to you. But when you look and say, man, there is something which happened. There is a squeeze like which seems to be going tighter and tighter. But then, great is the Lord in the city, and greatly to be praised. Praise the Lord. In the city of our God, in the city where we dwell, praise the Lord, which is the joy of all the earth, not just of us, of all the earth. Go to verse 3. God is in her palaces. He is known as her refuge. For behold, the kings assembled, they passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled, they hastened. Now imagine a place so good that the kings of the world come and behold it, and they are troubled. And they say, that's not our kind of place. We do not belong there. But now for you, when you see it and you marvel and you say, man, this is where I belong. Now, for them, they see it and somehow they are scared. They say they were troubled and they hastened away and they left. Because it is, and we are not talking about a city that is up there. You know, eh? We are talking about a city that is here, of which we are inhabitants. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. They troubled and they hastened away. Go ahead. Fear took hold of them there, and pain as of a woman in birth pangs. Because when this city is unveiled, as it is now, it is in the process of being unveiled, the kings of the earth who are responsible for squeezing everybody are actually going to find that they are scared. And by the way, the truth is, they actually are scared. Because when you listen to people who used to talk very confidently, by 2030, you own nothing and be happy. Do you know, those guys even say that by 2030, they are going to abolish fashion. All human beings will be putting on uniforms. Man, those guys are straight from the devil, man. Like, they are evil people on this earth. And now, more than at any one time, the world is looking for the what? The manifestation of the sons of God. Because imagine those are your leaders. And they are saying that, no. By 2030, you will own nothing and be happy. Everything you have will be rented to you. So that you use it, but it does not belong to you. Then they even say, no, even these things of being smart. Now that might get some ladies to start fighting with us. Everybody puts on a what? A uniform. The guy actually said that. When I saw the headline, I said, did he really say that? So I went to check. This can't be true. They can't be this wicked. Man, the wickedness of these people, you can't exhaust it. When you think you've known everything, they come up with something worse. I said, they actually said that. No fashion. All of us will be putting on uniform. You watch that movie, Hunger Games, and you thought it was a movie. It is not a movie. That's what they are planning. But you see, great is the Lord and greater to be praised. In the city of our God, in the what? In the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth. Now the whole earth will actually turn and see that's where their joy is. As the kings of the world come and behold, and fear took hold of them, and pain as of a woman in birth pangs. As when you break the ships of Tarshish, with an east wind. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Praise the Lord. So now what is temporary is being taken away, and what God is establishing is going to last forever. Praise the Lord. Okay. We have thought, O God, on your loving kindness in the midst of your temple. According to your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. For your right hand is full of righteousness. I want to tell you something, by the way, you people. That as you think about the city of God, do not forget that the entrance to the city of God is praise. Amen? The entrance is what? Praise. Do not ever forget that. Because the opposite of praise is grumbling. And grumbling is the easiest way of not entering the city of God. I want you to consider this. Consider the journey of the children of Israel and all the things they did, how they doubted God and how they did what. But eventually it is grumbling which made God say, okay, I've had enough. They made a golden calf, and Moses came with the Ten Commandments, and when he saw them worshipping a golden calf, he threw down the tablet and it broke. And the tablet had been written in God's own handwriting. It wasn't God telling Moses and Moses writing. God actually wrote on that tablet. And Moses came and was shocked and threw it down and it broke because of what he saw. Including Aaron, who actually helped them make the golden calf, the chief priest. But God told Moses, it's okay, you come back, I will write it again. And Moses went back and God wrote on it again. So imagine, it is the grumbling which actually made him say, now I've had enough. After having all of that and seeming to be okay with it, now what is, then at some stage he says, you know what, I think I've had enough. Now you're going to die in the wilderness, as you said. And your children, whom you were saying, those are the ones who will enter the promised land. And by the time, now when he says that, then they kind of wake up and they think, maybe he can change his mind, but it is done. And then he hastens through. Now, the grumbling, the opposite of praise is grumbling. Praise the Lord. And even now, as you've been told, we are in the year of praise. Never forget that praise is what opens the door to anything, to that city of God. Because there are frustrations in all this. You can be frustrated. You can feel that something is not happening the way it is supposed to happen. And so on. And actually, that might, but I would even give you something else which you can do, which perhaps you have not considered, in case you see. But at all times, make sure his praise is always on your lips. Amen? When you feel like grumbling, praise. When you feel discouraged, praise. When you feel angry, something is not happening, what? Don't let yourself succumb to grumbling. Because once you go there, you've dug yourself a hole. And it might be very difficult for you to get out of it. But even getting out of it will involve praise. Amen? I know I've been in scenarios where I am completely confused. Things are not happening. Something is not going right. And I wonder what is wrong. And you see so many people in a scenario like that attempted to believe that God is somehow involved. And you've seen people who actually are praying and praying for God to do something, like almost like they are Old Testament believers. And now that's the problem with like wrong teaching. People hear David saying, oh God, come, do not delay. Hasten your feet and come and save me, do not delay. And they think that that's how you pray in the New Testament. Amen? That is not how you pray in the New Testament. In the New Testament, God does not delay to do anything. Because he already did everything he's ever going to do on the cross. And every time, let me tell you, every time, do you know what, why Paul says that there is one God and one mediator between God and man? And he says, the man, Jesus Christ. The man, Jesus Christ. Because every problem of man that is presented, every time men run to God, he shows them Jesus, the man, Jesus. Because that's where everything was. He has no solution. God has absolutely no solution outside of Jesus. That's it. The solution is Jesus. And now that's it. Now, when you start, and I've seen this, of course, like, not that I've seen it, I've even done it myself. Like, when you see things are not happening, and then you're absolutely tempted to start to grumble and to think somehow God is involved, then sometimes if you're even very humble and very religious enough and are full of piety, you'll say, it is not God's timing. But you're being thrown out of the house and you say, it's not God's timing. So is he waiting for you to first be on the street before his timing comes or what? So then you say, so now what do I do? I'm not the one who is throwing myself out of the house. Then you're confused. But then you see the thing is, the starting point is sanctify the Lord. Know that, first of all, you don't have to convince him to do anything for you. Number one, there is nothing that you want for yourself that is good, that he does not want for you. So that's the first starting place. But you see, you also have to understand that we do not live in a perfect world. In this imperfect world, so many things can happen which actually stand between God giving and you receiving. Amen? I remember that man called who? John Austin. John Austin said that one day his church, they were a small church, and they said they wanted to do some celebration. He said they needed 2 cows. They wanted to slaughter 2 bulls to celebrate as a church. So they went and prayed. They didn't have the money to buy the bulls. So they prayed for the bulls and said, God, we thank you because you are, you know, you're going to give us 2 bulls as a church we want to celebrate. Then after some time, The day of the celebration was coming and the bulls were nowhere to be seen. Then they waited, the day of the celebration is coming, the bulls are nowhere to be seen. Then somebody came up with some very good idea and said that instead of waiting for bulls, why don't we just go and buy meat from the butcher? So they said, man, the bulls are not coming, let's go and get meat. So they went and got meat. And so they cut the meat and celebrated. Praise the Lord. All is well that ends well. The trouble is that at night, John Austin said he dreamt when there was a python which had swallowed two cows, two bulls. And the python couldn't move, it was heavy, it had swallowed two bulls. And the message for God was giving him was clear that the bulls were coming. Now, by giving up, you handed them over to the devil. Praise the Lord. And usually people come with ideas like that. When you're believing for something, when you actually believe in God for something, you kule miracle, eh? You have to have a sense of kule miracle. But I'm going to also tell you some of the things you can do. Like in case, like you see, surely something has got to have happened now. And that actually happens a lot of time. So that you don't pray like David in Psalm 70, where he says, God, hurry up. But I've waited. Okay, like, make haste. Come, please. I've waited for too long. And it is not happening. And I'm sure so many of you have felt like that sometimes. There is something which you know is yours. And you know it is yours. And you've even had perhaps even a dream or even what a prophecy, something about it. And you know it is yours. But 1 year, 2 years, then you say, but when is it going to come? When is it ever going to come? Praise the Lord. I want to tell you something, that the devil is behind every delay. Amen? There was a time I'd done some work for some, I remember even it was for National Housing. I'd done some work for them and I was expecting some payment, you know, from there. But then the thing delayed. Delayed. Then I went and asked, is my check out? They said, no, not yet. Then it delayed. Delayed. In the meantime, rent is whatever, landlord is on your case, everything. Man, and like, the thing is taking far too long. So one day, I really got angry and I really prayed about it. I went at night and prayed about it and said, now, I'm tired of this. Something has to happen. Then, the very next day, they called me from National Housing. I said, where are you? Your check has been here for 1 month. Can you imagine? Like, in that 1 month, I would have solved so many problems. I would have, you know what I'm talking about. Eh? And like, you eventually get it. But the enemy might not stop you from getting it. But if he can somehow find a way of delaying it, then he will mess you up. Because you know what? You know even a payment. If it is supposed to come last week and comes this week, it's going to mess you up, isn't it? Then in that time, because the landlord is on your case, you even go to a money lender. Then you go and borrow 2 million. And you're going to pay 2.7 million. And the devil has already taken 700,000. Because if you had gotten the check before, you would not have paid that extra what? Money. So you somehow you're rotating there and so on. And now, then I go to a time when I say, but really, how come everything is delayed? What is supposed to happen this week and next week? What? Then eventually I started praying seriously about it. About delay. And then I noticed, consequently, that instead of 1 month, it was 2 weeks. Instead of 2 weeks, it was 1 week. Instead of 1 week, it started delaying by a few days. Then eventually, I got to the place, I said, now everything that has to come immediately, I expect it. At the time when it comes out, when it is supposed to be in my hands, it comes out. Then somehow that, when I kufunzad that, that was the last time I took a loan. Because it would come when I need it. Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to show you something here. You go to... Now, this is a scripture which all of you know, eh? But I just want to show you something which is going to be of help to you in a scenario like this. You go to Daniel chapter 9, start from verse 19. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen. Act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. Now, here is the thing. Daniel had determined by the prophecies of Jeremiah that 70 years was what was determined for the children of Israel to be in captivity. And he had calculated 70 years were up. Now they were supposed to come. So of course, being who he is, the Lord put it on him. So he's praying and he prays that, Lord, the time is up for the captivity to end. And then he says, oh Lord, hear, oh Lord, forgive. Oh Lord, listen, act. How many of you have ever felt like saying that? Okay, not saying it. Eh? But oh Lord, listen and act. Like, do something. Eh? So he says, do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. Verse 20. Now, while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of my God, verse 21, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. Now I want you to see that Daniel started praying in the morning. I started confessing the sins of Israel and praying. Don't go and do that rubbish in this New Testament. Eh? You know, there are people who call themselves intercessors, Uganda. Every year they go and confess the sins of you. Oh, God, forgive you, God. Forgive you, God. Like, there are people who are idle. I mean, you see, when people don't understand the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, they do stupid things. Anyway, so Daniel was standing in the gap for Israel. And those people say they are standing in the gap for Uganda. They have confessed sins, but nothing has happened. Anyway, and they are confessing the same sins which they confessed last year. Forgive the sins of Obote. Forgive the sins. Then the next year, they say also forgive the sins of Obote and also Amin. And also, but God forgave them last year. All those men are now dead. They cannot commit any more sins. Now, why are you reminding me? Why are you still confessing the sins of Obote? Yet the man committed them and died, and you confess them already. But you see, there is certain stupidity which people get into their heads and they just say it with it. And they don't even stop to wonder what they are doing, whether it is scripture. Anyway. So while I was speaking in the prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. So he started praying in the morning, confessing the sins of Israel, say, God, now the time is now, do not delay. In the evening, Gabriel came in form of an answer. Verse 22. And he informed me and talked with me and said, oh, Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. Now, the thing is, of course, Daniel was asking, praying for Israel to go back, but Angel Gabriel came and gave him that scripture which Akena has been using as if he's the one who wrote it, of Daniel 9:27, he will confirm. So he gave him a whole thing up to the end. But he was praying just for Israel. Then he gave him the whole thing from beginning up to end and told him, this is what is going to happen. 70 weeks are determined for your people, and then this will happen, and then this will happen, all the way. But he started in the morning, and the answer came in the evening. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. We want that. Eh? We want to be like Daniel. No, we don't. Not in that way. Okay, now go to Daniel chapter 10. Start from verse 10. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees at the palms of my hands. Go ahead. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Verse 12. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. Verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. So now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision refers to many days yet to come. Of course, yet again, the angel gives him like a long-term prophecy. But here the difference is, Daniel was praying and fasting for 3 weeks before he got an answer. In Daniel chapter 9, when he started, that very day he got the answer in the evening. In Daniel chapter 10, he started, it took 3 weeks for him to get the answer. Now, when he prayed, being an Old Testament prophet, there is nothing he could do apart from waiting for the those things up there to sort themselves. God to send Michael. Michael come and fight with the princes of the Persia. Then the princes of Persia allow the messenger to come. And all that process takes 21 days. And he could not do better than that because he had no ability. But now, you, unlike Daniel, you don't have to wait for God to send Michael. God sent Jesus. And Jesus gave you all the authority. So now when demons are causing delay, you speak to them and say, Satan, I command you, spirit of delay, it is there. And command him to get his hands off your money. And see if you will not get it in a few days. You dreamt when you were going to get, we are going to get money. These people told me when they were praying, they dreamt about when somebody had given me how many million shillings. A lot of money. But as it come, so, now, the difference between Daniel is because Daniel could only continue praying, continue fasting, continue praying, until eventually the answer came. Now, for you, you don't have to do that. The scripture says this is the confidence that we have in him, that whenever we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears our supplications. And when he hears our supplications, we know that he gives us those things that we have asked for. Praise the Lord. So when you pray for cows to celebrate, immediately you pray, the cows are released. Now, it's just that you don't know that in between the devil is trying to stop the manifestation of what happens in the spirit and the flesh and in the actual. And you also don't know, okay, you know, but you've not exercised the fact that you can command him to get his money east of your promotion. I've been due a promotion for so long. You spirit of delay, I command you in the name of Jesus to get your hands off my promotion and see if it will not materialize. Actually, you can even not speak to the spirit. Speak to delay itself and say, you delay. Get, because the enemy uses delay. I hope you know that. You've experienced that. He uses it a lot to frustrate, and you get angry and frustrated. Then people go and start, then they start leaving ministries and saying nothing is happening there. I went thinking, like, and they do so many decisions, yet actually the devil is somewhere just playing with you. Because the minute you ask for anything, according to his will, he gives it to you. For instance, you ask for a job. Now, the scripture in Ephesians, I think chapter 4, says, let him who stole before steal no more, but let him work with his hands, that he may have what to give those who are in need. So he's saying, if you don't have a job, go and work with your hands. So then you say, now, I don't have a job. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give those who are in need, someone who is in need. So the thing is, that means that God is saying, if you ask for a job, you ask according to his will. Because he told you here to go and do what? To go and labor. So if you want a job and you ask for a job, you're asking according to his will. Don't even say that, yeah, but I knew that. No, find the thing in the scripture so that you have confidence. You see, when you have a word, you are confident that he said this, so you're the one who said it. So now, I want a job. Now, the minute you ask for the job, it has been released immediately. The moment you ask. Now, after asking for the job, you first sought that spirit of what? Sort that delay. And then after that, just start thanking God, praising God, entering his gates with thanksgiving and what? And praise. And then you see how you come out, because there are people who I'm seeing here who are supposed to have big things long time ago, and I look at them and I know, but what happened? Then you say, but are you still in this place? And actually, there is a promise hanging on them like this. Some of them even a prophecy, a clear prophecy hanging on you like this. And it is supposed to have come to pass before COVID. But the devil is still playing games. But now you can, with a word, one word, you can speak to delay. You can speak to anything you want to get out of your way. Praise the Lord. Not people, not even spirits. You see, people think you speak only to spirits. You spirit of what? No. You speak even to some, even delay. There was a time when I went to work out. Then I got a muscle pulled. I think I pulled the hamstring. And now this hamstring, the only way you can do with it is by just not doing anything. Just wait it out. And just chill. But then I waited three. man, and I had my targets, my targets, exercise targets. So, man, my hamstring was delaying. And I realized I might have to wait like maybe a month or two of inactivity before the hamstring. So I said, let me go to the gym. So I went to the gym. So I started jogging. Then I started feeling like a thing pull. Eh? Then the thing pulls. Then I spoke to it. I said, you muscle, in the name of Jesus, I command you to stop paining. Now you see, the thing is, I know everything that has a name has to bow down to the name of Jesus. Okay? As long as anything has a name, a muscle, delay, what? Well, it has to bow to the name of, because there is given a name above what? Every name. So I'm not just talking about men, even things, even muscles. I spoke to the muscle and said, stop right now in the name of Jesus. I have to run. Then I ran, it was still continuing. And then I ran, it was still increasing. Then I ran, then it stopped. Then I ran. And I'm telling you, like, and then that was it. The hamstring was. But now, you see, sometimes you get these things, one, you can get it today and then tomorrow. You start saying, ah, man, now you see, let me go for a massage. What? You just speak to the thing and say, you think, what's your name? My name is hamstring. Okay, your name is below the name of Jesus. Eh? So in the name of Jesus, I command you to stop paining me. Praise the Lord. So I ran, and actually I ran and finished my thing. Then I came back, and then that was the end of the thing. Praise the Lord. Now, you see, people don't realize that. You don't have to speak to a person. Jesus spoke to the winds and the waves. You remember that? When he saw the winds, he just told the winds, be still. He was not talking to his disciples. He was not saying, these winds are going to be still in 1 second. No. He spoke to the winds and told them, be still. And they became what? Still. Because everything like that is communicating something to you. You are supposed to go the other side, then waves come, winds come, and then suddenly you can't go across. You go to Mark 11, 12. The next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, in response to it, in response to it, he was not talking to a human being. And he wasn't even just starting a conversation. He was responding to what the tree was telling him. You read there, it says, in response to the tree. Because you see, I heard it from somebody saying, in that place, a fig tree is not supposed to have leaves unless it has figs. So it's supposed to develop fruit first before it develops leaves. So this fig tree was a chwani. It had leaves and it had no fruit. So Jesus, it was communicating something to Jesus that I have fruit because I have leaves. Because fruit comes, then leaves comes in the season. So now, Jesus comes receiving a communication from the fig tree that it has, thinking it has fruit. It comes, he comes there and there is no fruit. So in response to the fig tree, not to anybody, you can respond to a muscle which is trying to stop you from what? Working out. You respond to it. Now, is a fig tree a human being? Is it a spirit? No, but Jesus spoke to it and did not even just speak to it. He responded to it and said, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. I want you to notice these words. He did not say, nobody will eat fruit from this fig tree ever again. He was talking to the fig tree. Amen? And he told the fig tree, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And the fig tree had. How do we know it had? It also responded by dying. And his disciples had it. Now, I want you to know that, you know, the Bible doesn't have pointless. It says his disciples had it, which means he spoke it loud. He did not speak it quietly. And his disciples had it. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Okay? Next verse. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cast has withered away. Verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Now, let me tell you. You can speak to a human being. You can speak to an animal. You can speak to... What if you are... I saw a video the other day where a man was seated on these tourist trucks in front, and he had even outside, had even strapped himself. And then the next thing he sees, a lion comes. And then the thing is there. What would you do? You'd go and do it. Or you'd speak to it. And now let me tell you, you can speak to it and cannot do anything. You say, you lion, in the name of Jesus, don't dare touch me. Now you think it will not hear. If a tree can hear, how come? How about a lion? Because at least a lion has blood. A tree had, and there was a communication going on between Jesus and the tree. The tree said something, then Jesus responded. Then the tree also, what? Now every day you're communicating with things. You see, the thing is, people do not understand that you actually are the top of God's creation. So the same way all creation responds to him, all creation responds to you, apart from fellow human beings who have their own free will. But everything that is below human, that is inanimate, anything. You know, someday, my son told me that he was home and he was doing something, power went off, phew, over the whole place. Then he started praying for it. Then God told him, you tell the power to come back. He said, what? He said, speak to the power and tell it to come back. So he said, power, come back. Then guess what power did? It came back. Now, you go and start praying. Have God, I pray. You bring God. No, speak to the thing which is... Where is God involved in this? Is God the one delaying your thing? Speak to delay and say, delay. Unlike Daniel, who had to wait. For you, just... Because I'm sure there are people here who have things which you're waiting for, which you think have delayed. Aren't you? Now, today, even before we leave here, we are going to speak to delay. Eh? And tell delay to come out of... Because, let me tell you something. From the day you desired to get married, there was somebody who God put there who is supposed to be your what? Your mate. But the devil is busy doing what? Speak to delay. I was listening to some man of God who told this story. And he was saying that this gentleman wanted to sell a house. Because I think he wanted to shift and go and buy another house. So he had a house, so he wanted to sell it. So he put the house out for sale and prayed to God that he gets a buyer. Then he waited 1 year, 2 years. There was no buyer. Then he got to know about this. And then he spoke to the spirit that causes delay. He spoke to delay and said, this house of mine has to be sold. So he canceled, you know, any delay and what? And then started thanking God for the selling of the house. According to the story, it took, I think, either 2 or 3 days before another man came and said, I want to buy this house. And then he told him something else. He told him that from the moment you put out that sign out there for sale, I told my wife that this is going to be our house. This is the house we want to buy. But we are waiting for somebody to go and do what? We're also wanting to sell another house. And then the person postponed and postponed. You know the games the devil plays, eh? Then he plays games. And now you were supposed to sell the house 2 years ago and go and buy another one. But in those 2 years, so many things. So the minute he commanded the delay to get out of the way, the man says, 2 years I've been wanting to buy this house. But suddenly something happened 2 days ago when he commanded delay to go. The man said, suddenly something happened 2 days before. 2 days ago, the man who was supposed to buy my house called and was ready and went and signed the papers. And now I've sold my house. Now I've come to buy yours. 2 days. The man had waited 2 years. Can you imagine? Now this is what the devil, like, he can mess people up. Because he might not stop you from getting something, ultimately. But he doesn't have to stop you. If you have to wait 2 years, man, he has messed you up. So now, we are going to command anybody who has something which is delaying, Because there have been people whom even I like, I know something is happening. Then it takes 1 year and 2 years, and sometimes, okay, even 1 month, 2 months, and it's supposed to have happened. So now we are not going to sit back and stop these stupid demons. But you see, if you don't know, people go and curse God and do what? Now imagine if this man had gone and cursed God, yet God actually released the buyer, and he gave you the responsibility of dealing with the devil. Because you see, there is nothing, devil, that God can do anything about. I remember reading a book by Kenneth Hagin, and he says that Jesus came, entered his room, pulled a chair, and sat down, and started telling him certain things. So when Jesus was talking, then some demon came and blocked them like this, and now created distraction, and he could not hear properly what Jesus was saying. So Jesus continued talking as if he's not seeing the demon. And then Kenneth Hagin continued wondering, why doesn't Jesus do anything about it? I mean, how can this demon come and cajole him when what? Then eventually he became angry and commanded the demon to vanish in Jesus' name. And the demon vanished. Then Jesus said, if you had not commanded him to do it, there is nothing I could do about it. He said, you mean there is nothing you would do? He said, no, there is nothing I could do. I cannot bind the devil. I gave all that power to men. Did you know that? Because even Kenneth had, he said, you show me where it is in the scripture. Because, you know, for him, he didn't care if he was seeing the Lord or what. He would say, you show me where it is in the scripture. He said, are you sure that is in the scripture? Then he said, even told the Lord, that now you know these scriptures here, but I've never read that. Then the Lord told him that there are so many things there you don't know. Anyhow, but the thing is that anything to do, he left it for you. So he will look, sit back and wait. You have the power. He has given you all the power. All power has been given. That, you know, go ye. Now, he did not retain any for himself. Where now Jesus comes and casts demons. No, he does not. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you learning something today? Which you are going to use and get your things immediately. So now, imagine God wants, you say, but yeah, I want to give, I gave you the thing. As soon as you asked, I gave it to you. But the devil now, the devil knows, and he will use every ignorance a child of God has. He will use every laxity. Every time you become lax in a certain thing, he will use it against you properly. Until you actually come back and say, no, I'm not supposed to wait this long for this. Amen? I'm not supposed to wait very long for, I mean, my time is now. Remember Jesus said in that Luke chapter 4. You remember some of the things? He came to preach the gospel to the poor, to preach recovery of sight to the blind. He said to preach the acceptable what? Year of the Lord. Now the acceptable, once you ask it, is given. The acceptable year of the Lord is now. So, but the enemy is like, and you have absolute power over him. The only problem, which the thing I came to teach you here today, as even I finish, is that you can talk to a light, which is playing games, and tell it what? Stabilize. You can speak to the TV if it decides to go off when you're reading a scripture. You can speak to anything. Praise the Lord. You can speak to animals, you can speak to plants, and command them to do something. Now, how many of you have been practicing that? Praise the Lord. Okay. You can also speak to brokenness. You know, the other day, my wallet was empty. So I spoke to it and said, now you wallet, by tomorrow this time, you're going to have 5 million shillings. So it has to sort itself out. To have what? So somehow I got 5 million shillings and I put it in the wallet to make sure the wallet does its duty. Then I took it out and went and spent it. Now, what happens if you speak and it doesn't happen? You do it again. Like the word of God, Jesus spoke to the fig tree. How many people have cursed trees and they don't wither? Like you do it again until, All these things, you have to come to a point where you're confident in it. And you speak, and it happens. Amen? Because even afterwards, in Mark 11, 23, he says, "Assuredly, I say unto you, if anybody speaks to this mountain and says to it, says to this mountain and says, be removed, now does not speak to God and say, God, remove this mountain. God will look at you and say, that's not the instruction. Speak to the mountain." Amen? Does a mountain hear? Yes. Jesus said, if anyone speaks to this, whoever says to this mountain, you imagine a mountain, and you say to it, dead, not alive, and says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever what? He says, it's all about speaking to. And now, every time there is a message, something happens. You wake up in the morning, then you go to look. There's a time it happened to me. I know where I keep my keys. I looked for my car keys. I looked for my car keys. Like, 1 hour, I was still looking for my car keys in a house like this. And I knew they were there. Otherwise, the car wouldn't be parked outside. So I knew they were in the house. Otherwise, I would think they are not. But I knew I needed them to bring the car there. So I looked for them. I looked for them. Now, scenarios like those, like, that is communicating something to you. Like, the fig tree was communicating to Jesus. Anyway, eventually I got the keys. But I did not ask, what is this communicating to me? So I got the keys, jumped in my car. I was going to Rezori Towers. And then, that time, Owino Market had burned. And there was Kavuyo in town. Okay, to just cut a long story short, I spent like 4 or 5 hours in a distance from here up to that wall. Seated in the car, turn off the engine, and start meditating. And eventually, the time the cars were released to go was the time I should have been coming back from office. So if I'd found out what are these keys communicating to me, I would have avoided that because I wasted a lot of time in. I reached and there was, I went through those Queens Way, Bitara. My God, my God. There, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. Then I saw cars moving, what? When I went up Entebbe Road, I was so pissed, I just turned and drove back home. 6 hours wasted because I did not try to find out what were the keys communicating. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, like, the world is always crazy. You knock yourself on the what? There's a time I slid and fell in the bathroom. Man, I fell badly and hit my head on the tiles. I even thought the tires had cracked, bam! Like, the sound was so big, it was almost like it was an explosion. Because I slid properly, you know, like, where there is even, you can't even put your hands, Like, because there was soap, I was bathing, so I went and hit them, bam! Then, I knew the head was either going to swell or what, but what I did, I did something, and the head did not swell or even stopped paining. Because I turned my mind away from the head and started thinking about something totally different. Then the head forgot that it's supposed to pain. But that was a very bad fall, by the way. But it was communicating something to me, and I knew that if I don't answer that communication, the next day you hear somebody has had a bad accident. Those are things, Like you wake up, your tire is flat. Okay, it might be communicating that you need to buy new tires. Not all the time. Not all the time is. You know, some of you are going to get too spiritual, and your tires are worn out, and you're saying, but what is it communicating? No, just buy new tires. But okay, sometimes. So there are things which you say. Now, I said, man, this thing. Now, then I started actually praying and saying, what is happening? And then. Like, I knew, because the next thing, a boda boda comes and scratches your car, then you know something is happening. It was a communication. Now, I'm supposed to speak to what? First of all, speak to that floor down there. Never again be slippery when I'm here. Now, you think that is weird. But those are things which people in the scripture used to do. Now, if you can speak to a mountain, you go and speak to a mountain. Like, this is in the scripture, and this is how things are. Like, I've spoken to muscles, I've spoken to what? I've spoken to wallets. and command it tomorrow. Make sure you have this amount of money. Have you heard? Then let it sort itself and make sure you have that. Praise the Lord. You see, that thing of moving your mind away, people don't understand how powerful it is of just focusing your mind elsewhere on something. You hit, knock your toe and it's supposed to be paining you. And then you just start thinking about something else. The next thing you know, the toe is not paining. Because everything is based on the mind. And by the way, let me tell you, mastery of the mind is the entry point into spirituality. If your mind is like, you actually can't enter into spirituality. I remember, and these guys who do yoga, and those things are the ones who master those things. They can think about something for 1 minute, like for hours, and his mind has not shifted like this. I read the story in a newspaper. There's a guy who said that he was in these cruises, and then the cruise got had an issue, and then started drowning. People in scenarios like that, some of them, their minds freeze, and they can't do anything. So many of them died when their minds had frozen. Others start kuiya, running, going to... So he said they ran, they realized that it had some inflatable boats. So they got the boats, inflated them. He said, to his shock, other people were frozen. They don't even see that these people are trying to inflate them. So they went and sat on the boats and then started floating. They were some distance away and it was winter. So they started floating. So it becomes very cold, very cold. Then some guys start, there were about, I think, six of them. Then one says, we are going to die here. Nobody is going to get us. We are going to die. We are just going to freeze to death and so on. And that one was the first one to die. Now there was another one who was very positive. Said, no, they are going to get us. The rescue effort must be on. What? He was very, very positive. He was the last one actually to die. Now this man, because he had done that mind thing, training of his mind, he refused to think about the cold. He thought about everything else but the temperature. And the cold did not touch his body, just using his mind. I did not read this in a spiritual journal. I read it in a British newspaper called Times Online. Times, actually Sunday Times. And the man, by just not thinking about the cold, somehow kept the cold away from him. So when all the others had frozen to death, he stayed there. And it took some hours before he finally saw a chopper coming. Somebody came down on the line to pick him up and then took him up into the chopper. Now, when he got into the chopper and now was inside and was safe, he said that's when he, for the first time, allowed himself to think about the cold. He almost died inside the chopper because all the cold which he had kept outside of him with his mind, the minute he let himself think about it, all of it came through to him and he started shaking. Now they had to get hot air and started blowing his body. Yet he had actually survived for days. But he just allowed his mind to whew, a bit. And the whole cold came back. Praise the Lord. Can you speak to the cold? Eh? And what do you tell it? Be warm, eh? You stop here like this. By the man, the power of the mind. Have you seen those where insects attack? You know these insects which climb and eat you and finish you? And somebody just uses his mind to keep them at bay. Just the mind. And remember, anything that is an animal, like, has to respect. If you're eaten by a lion, you know that, man, you are not spiritual. Like, because they are when they see you, they see God. God, remember what God told Adam, I will put the fear of you on all these animals. He said that. It means you've reduced yourself. I will put the fear of you on all the animals. That's why those Masais wait for those animals to go and hunt. I mean, they wait for lions to go and kill an animal. Then the Masai go with their sticks and then they cut off the meat they want from what? From the lions. And the lions, once they see them coming, then they try, wah, wah, these guys just come walking. The lions have to run away because they are seeing their creator. Because like God, now you see, then the lions go there and wait and they're trying to scare. But these guys are not scared. Have you seen that video? And they cut off the meat, all the meat they want, and they carry and go away. Then the lions come back. And then even try to threaten as if they will chase them. Then they go back. Now, you try that when you're scared. Once you are scared, There was a video of what? Of boda guys who are riding in the game park, past lions. Do you know the thing is just not be scared? It's all in the mind. Like the devil. You're not scared, he's powerless. Now, those things can smell fear. It comes to you, then it sees you're scared. Ah, man, you're in trouble. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. No more delay. Okay, now stand up and I speak everyone. I want to speak to the delay in your life, every part of your life. Just that, then I close and we go. In the name of Jesus, no more delay. In Jesus' name, no more delay. Now, I want you to agree with me. As we break every delay, everything that has delayed in your life, praise the Lord. Amen? Now, after here, go and start thanking God for all those things that have now been released. Praise the Lord. You spirit of delay, in Jesus' name, I command you in the name of Jesus, you spirit that causes delay, I cast you out of the life of each and every person here, and I command you to get your hands off everything that pertains to everybody in this place. And even all those people who are not here, but are part of Watchman Ministries, in the name of Jesus, I speak to delay and I command it to get out of their lives in Jesus' name. And whatever is theirs comes to them speedily. Whatever the Lord has designated for you comes to you speedily. Say amen. It shall not be delayed any longer. Whoever belongs to you comes to you speedily. Whatever connections are yours comes to you speedily. And even that money that you've been waiting for, that has delayed and delayed, now in the name of Jesus, I speak to delay and I command it to get out of the way right now in Jesus' name. Now even somebody, there is a travel that you've been talking, you've traveled. Now in the name of Jesus, I speak to delay and I command delay to get out of your life in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. And now that travel materializes in Jesus' name. Now somebody, promotion which has been due. Now in the name of Jesus, I speak to delay and I command it to get out of your life. If you're that person, say amen. Delay, I speak to you and I command you to get out of the life of that person. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And now everything that stood in the way of you speedily getting what the Lord has given to you, what you have prayed for and the Lord has released for you, everything, you spirit of delay, I command you to get out of the way and let these things come speedily in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Just start thanking God for now those things which are released now. Just lift your hands and thank him and say, thank you, Lord, because I get it right now. I receive it. It comes into my hands right now in the name of Jesus.
That was The Watchman. Join us for our Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at Amare, The Palace, along Gaba Road, near the American Embassy, opposite Mokwaya General Hospital. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555. Or +256 752 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministries, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email using info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, how to give, The Watchman magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.